If it is here, men of God, say, I will follow Christ. I will live for Christ regardless. I will die for Christ if necessary. But at the center of my heart, I will be a man of God. I will be a follower of Christ. That will be the test of this promised people here in LA. If we can leave here with that locked in our hearts, never again to be the same. I think, man, that this has been a great event. But it has been this has been more than an event. I'm sitting here saying, wow, what a great event. So, wow, what a great party we had in the Coliseum. It was really neat. If you leave here like that, we've missed the whole point. Because this has been more than a great event. Man, this has been an encounter with Jesus Christ. And it's not possible after an encounter with Christ to sing the last song as we're going to do in a few minutes and go home and shake hands and say, see you later. And then it's business as usual again. Because when you encounter God's Christ, it is never business as usual again. 2,000 years ago, 12 men had a personal encounter with the living God in the form of Christ. And they were never the same again. He transformed their lives, and they transformed their world. And tonight we sit here redeemed, self-canceled, heaven gained, because 12 men encountered Christ and became followers of him. And tonight, when we leave here, we must do the same. Let me explain. In Matthew chapter 4, a very interesting sequence. We read in verse 18 that Christ, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, who we know as Peter, and Andrew, his brother, cast their net into the sea, and then the text says, because they were fishermen. I have to tell you guys, they went on vacation. This was their career. And it was what your careers and my career mean to me. Security. Income, a sense of prosperity, something to get up in the morning for, maybe a pension, maybe a retirement. This was the center point of their life. And Jesus Christ intercepted their lives in the midst of all that was significant to them. And Christ said this, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. 5, Christ has walked on the beach of our lives here today. He has intercepted us. He has intercepted us. He has surprised us in so many ways. And he rises and says to you and me, as he says to these men of old, follow me, follow me. Now, I'm not surprised that Christ would say, follow me. I'd expect that of him. But I am surprised about is what happens next in the text. Because we read that they, think about this, that they immediately left their nets and followed him. And don't let that sink in. It has tremendous weight to it. Their nets, symbolizing all that was significant in their lives. They looked in the face of Christ. They heard at the authoritative call. And immediately, they left it all and followed Christ. He calls us to be that as well. In verse 21, he kind of replicates the scene that says, and going on from there, he saw two brothers, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called to them. He said, follow me. Now I took attention to leave your own business. It's a whole other thing to leave the family business. I don't know what they called this, maybe fish by Zebedee and sons, or something like that. And there they are with their father in the family business. And Christ says to James and John, follow me. And immediately it says, they left their boat and their father and followed him. That is what is required of being followers of Christ. Now, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to get this. There's one point of resistance in this text. When Jesus Christ called to Peter the neck and the hand. And Christ said, follow me. And they looked at their neck. And they said, the blood of their neck symbolized to them. Neck. Your neck, my problem. Look at your hand. Look at them. Christ was neck for a price of resistance. And when Christ says, follow me, there's nothing tangled your hand and inhibited your capacity to follow him. I'll tell you what a net is. Let's do a definition. A net is anything in my life that inhibits or prohibits my capacity to be a fully devoted follower of Christ. Let me say that. A net is anything in my life that inhibits or prohibits my capacity to be a fully non-negotiated follower of Jesus Christ. What are those nets, man? Christ says, drop them. Maybe we ought to try a little shortlist for ourselves, just so we can get into the exercise. For some of us sitting here, we get the blood go out, and we need to make some commitments. If there's a few nets that we say, I'll never drop that. Could it be the net of our secret? There's things in our lives that so far nobody knows about. Maybe for years we've been getting away with the secret thing. Is that the net? You think to yourself, well, if I drop that net, I miss that rush. I miss that satisfaction. I miss that kick I get out of practicing these secret things. Maybe it's the net of a double life on a business trip. Now we live and we're away from home. Nobody knows who we really are. Christ says, follow me, and immediately you feel the strain of the net of giving up that life on business trip. Maybe it's the net of embezzling from the boss. Maybe that's giving way out of your financial crisis, and you figure out a realistic scheme. It happens all over the place. It's impossible that in a group like this, some of us would not be entangled by those nets. The Christ says, follow me, and he says, I can't give that up. I can't stop it. And he says, follow me. Can't stop it. Maybe it's the net of the marketplace. Well, maybe not for money, but guys, isn't it the thrill of the kill? Isn't that why you go for that big contract? It's not the big buck. It's the thrill of the kill. That's what it is. And sometimes just to get fuzzy around the edges and just to erode our integrity, not tons, but just a little bit. The Christ says, follow me. You know, you can never do that again. You know, if you drop that net, you've got to walk into our business partner on Monday and say, sit down. You're not going to believe this. Or just sit down. Don't say anything. But you know that contract we're working on? I can't sign it. And I don't know if it's going to mean my job or our partnership, but I can't sign that. Can you feel the strain of that net? And Christ says, maybe it's the juice of our lives, I'll tell you. And I'll tell you, all of us in our hearts, we want to drop those nets. But in our hearts, we know how grievous it is. It pains us to think we've ever done those things. So it's so fun. Maybe it's not those good things. Maybe it's relationships. You say, you know, if I became a fully devoted follower of Christ, I'd never leave my friends, but maybe they're going to leave me. And I don't want to be alone. Maybe some of us have been sitting around the edges of an affair. Maybe some of us are dead deep in an affair. The Christ says, follow me. And you have to drop that net of that relationship that's been so affirming, so meaningful, so satisfying. And maybe it's just things. That's what it is, cars, houses, know, taxes and tariffs and all that kind of stuff. Lots of transportation. And, you know, getting off place of farming, maybe you have to do something with your things. Maybe you have to share them. Maybe you have to hold them loosely. Maybe you have to realize that they're not the significance of your life, but he's the significance of your life. And if you ever ask for them, you can have an hour. Maybe that's the name. Maybe it's money. We did get to this, didn't we? Because you know pretty well, you're thinking, if I become a follower of Christ, he's going to mess with my portfolio. And he will. Take it to the bank. He's going to mess with your money. Because your money will be transformed into power for the kingdom instead of power for your own pleasure. And he says to you, he says, do you drop the net? Do you drop the net? Maybe it's your plans and your dreams. Do you have any compulsive planners here? You're married to one city. What a sad thing. Ex-spontaneous types wish God would do a partial rapture of all the compulsive planners so we could go on and enjoy life. But there are some of us who have all of our plans and dreams. You know, when I'm 35, I'll be here, when I'm 40 years, when I'm 60, I'll be here, when I'm 70. We have all of our lives very clear. And you know, good and well, if we become a follower of Christ, that he's going to ask for the next of our plans. Men, did it ever cross your mind that Christ's plans just might be better than ours? Did that ever cross our mind? I remember coming home when our kids were little, and my oldest son Jared falling down on the babysitter registered that while your son got a big glass over his eye and I put a band-aid on it. I went up to the bedroom and pulled the band-aid back, and there was a huge gash, and I knew if he would ever be able to be pretty enough to attract a woman and get married, we'd fix that. So off we went to the children's hospital late that night. And we were ushered into the emergency room, and they put us in this emergency cubicle. And they told my wife to go sit down at the end of the table, and they said, you can hear him, put your hands on your son's shoulders, and hold him tight. And I'm thinking, of course, what else is a man for? Now, what I have to tell you is that all my life as a young man, in junior high and high school, I thought I was going to be a doctor. That was my plan. I patted for a medical doctor. He was a friend of the family. He showed me medical books, talked about me getting into medical school. That was my big plan. Obviously, God had different plans for me. And it was a good thing, because when I got older in life, I found out when I get around blood, something really bad happened. Really bad. You know that the next guy, and then you can feel him strange. happens now. As Christ stands among us and says, follow me, as a friend who says, hey, Phil, see these lines in my hand? I said, yeah, what are they? He said, nut brain. He said, because I struggle with the nuts, and I had to let him go. Can you drop your nuts and be a follower of Christ? Man, look at your man. Can I be free? Look at your man. Look at him. You see it as a trend, and it's also a guy that's a matter of value. If somebody says to you that, don't you like friends? I have to say, compared to what? Compared to loneliness? I love friends. Compared to Christ? No contact. No contact at all. He says, don't you like money? Compared to poverty, I'm addicted to money. Compared to Christ, man, compared to Christ, no contact. It's a matter of value. Say, don't you like your plans and your dreams compared to your life? Compared to your meaningless and your ordinary life, I love them. Compared to Christ, no contact. Man, look at his face. Do you really say, follow me, and then look at the nuts? Do you really, are you willing to say these nuts are of more value than even Christ, that any of us even utter that cross? He is worthy of every nut that restrains me, and it's a matter of action. What do you want your life to be like when you look in the rearview mirror? Think about it. What do you want your life to be like when you look in the rearview mirror? There are men here, guys like Peter and Andrew and James and John, they hang on to their nets, and at the end of it all, you know what they have? Tons of slippery, smelly, slimy fish. That's the legacy of their life. What do you want it to be? Do you want to make a life for yourself, or do you want to make a legacy for God in your home? Do you want to make a legacy for God in the marketplace? Do you want to make a legacy in heaven because you've been a follower of Christ and you're taking him there with you? What do you want it to be when it's over? What do you want to see when you look in the rearview mirror? Do you want to make a life working into the legacy that is made by a follower of Jesus Christ? We've been talking about breaking down walls. I just have to tell you something. We can break down the walls between our lives. We can break down the walls between our kids, get our hearts back to them. We can break down the walls between guys and brothers of other denominations. We can break down the walls between people of color. But man, listen, please listen. None of that is worth anything if we don't break down the walls between us and Christ. Those are the walls that must come down. As we break down the walls, there's only one way that it happens. And that's when Christ breaks us. And we have the strength to hold those nuts that I try. It's self-sufficient. When Christ walks into my life, this wonderful Savior, Redeemer, Friend, Master, Lord, God of the universe, he comes to be my friend. And I see him, and I am broken in his presence. As I break, my life is broken. I no longer can hold the nuts of a death. You know what? My guess is that most of us think that if Christ, if anything wonderful, if Christ literally appeared here right now, I mean, would that be fabulous? And we think that if Christ came now, if he walked in here, he would rise and cheer and sing. We'd hear it all the way up in San Francisco. We'd hear it in Hawaii. We'd be high-fiving each other. We'd be worshiping, mourning, praising him. Man, that's not true. It's not true. I want to tell you something. If Christ came in here in all of his blazing glory, we would pour on our faces before him. We would know how I'm going to lie. We'd try to cover suddenly at everyone, intimately and personally. And we'd see his gaze like laser beams from heaven. And we would realize our pain. And we would realize how undone we are. And we would let those nail-scarred hands reach out all the way to us. And it touched us personally. And it took that net from underneath us. And then to lift us up in forgiveness and say, I have a life and a future for you. Follow me. That's what would happen. If you will follow, then stay.